Is that German?
Joy, yes. Joy, this angle looks different.
Oh, it's because I got a new table for like eating and computer and stuff. But I can't really use the computer on it because it's like way higher than the chair. So like my lap is here and then the table is up here. So
I like it.
Way so higher.
You're using a table instead of just boxes now?
Growth.
Yes, it's an actual table.
Something tells me your mother convinced you to do it.
Well, she was like, so I saw one at the dollar store and it was only this much, and I was like, okay, fine.
Oh, so I'm cleaning up because I'm getting rid of purses and giving away and throwing whatever. Like these two purses I haven't used in forever, and I found a full thing of Aleve.
Oh, yay!
I'm gonna take one right now because I took one earlier because my shoulder hurt. Oh, I think I slept wrong.
You literally struck gold. That was me the other night, Friday night. I woke up Saturday and I was like, ugh, can barely move my arm.
It's like, it just hurts like
pick up a capsule there.
It's kind of like my shoulder and my arm-ish area. Like I can't literally go to bed. And, whatever, stupid.
I fall asleep on my stomach. I don't stay there. Mm-hmm. But I fall asleep on my stomach and I put like almost all of my weight and my head onto my right arm. So that's where that came in. But which also made it so much fun.
I can't do the stomach sleeping. I can't do it. My body won't let me.
It's how I fall asleep. It's never how I stay though. I usually wake up on my back.
Hey.
Oh, I miss your dirty mind, Joy.
Oh, trust me, I miss being able to express it.
Oh, my cousin was saying that on every advertising team there needs to be one person whose mind lives in the gutter who can always be like, that's not the correct phrasing, or that picture looks like this.
Yeah.
That's actually smart.
Right? Hire me. My mind lives there.
It's one less thing they had to deal with later on, you know?
Yeah.
I'll be your filter.
Yeah, because that can really derail like an advertisement if it's like, yeah, people can only think of it as a dirty joke versus like, oh, it's actually selling me something.
Which, you know, sometimes the dirty joke aspect helps you. Because then it becomes such a meme that people want to go buy it and whatever.
I think if you're going to make it dirty, you have to make it funny.
Right.
That's, I mean, maybe like tongue-in-cheek, like, you know, something like that. Which, like, that's not tongue-in-cheek. Like, I'm so sorry. I was embarrassed immediately.
I know, you tried to quickly move on.
I was embarrassed, yet I called myself out, so...
Oh my god, that's so funny.
I think it's a defense mechanism, but we're not going to get into that right now, because I don't want to talk.
Instead, let's talk about this movie. Hi, everyone. We're have thoughts. We're have thoughts?
We do have thoughts. Sometimes.
We have thoughts. Let me clap that out for you. We have thoughts. A podcast about movies. I'm Anna.
I'm Crystal.
And I'm Joy.
And we're back on our Oscar Rewind series, where we're making our way back through Oscar history, talking about all the Best Picture nominees. This season, we're looking back at the 2011 Oscars, and today's Best Picture nominee is Toy Story 3. The toys are mistakenly delivered to a daycare center instead of the attic right before Andy leaves for college, and it's up to Woody to convince the other toys that they weren't abandoned and to return home. Toy Story 3 was nominated for 5 Oscars, including Best Pictures. It was nominated for Adapted Screenplay, Michael Arndt, John Lasseter, Andrew Stanton, and Lee Unkrich. Best Animated Feature Film of the Year, Original Song, We Belong Together, Music and Lyrics by Randy Newman, and Sound Editing. I don't have their names in front of me. We will say them at the end of the podcast. I apologize. It won Animated Feature Film and Best Original Song. This is Toy Story 3. Now, I know we've all seen this movie, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Duh is the correct answer.
Duh.
Thank you. So, how was it revisiting this? Was it your first time revisiting, or is this one you've watched a few times since 2010? Tell us your history, Joy. When was the last time you watched Toy Story 3 besides this?
I don't think I've watched it since it came out. I don't remember watching it since it came out. Wow. I've rewatched like one and two, but I haven't rewatched this one. This one was really special at the time that it came out because I was graduating high school at the same time that Andy was graduating high school. And I distinctly remember, shout out to Becky because she was there with me. We walked to the movie tavern off of, what is that? The movie tavern there in Bedford? We walked over to
Central.
Off of Central. We watched this at that movie tavern. It was like during the day, there was nobody there except both of us. And we ended the movie just like sobbing in tears. Just like, oh my God, we're not kids anymore. We're graduating high school. Ah! And like the whole nine yards. So like, to be honest, I don't think anything is going to top that. So like rewatching it now, it was still good, but I was just like, so in my feelings then that like it watching it then was like a much such a like high quality experience than now, but it's nice to look back at it like that.
Yeah. The first time I saw this was going into my senior year, and this was the beginning of a lot of emotions for me. We were going to take my father for Father's Day, all three of us. My dad was a big, weekend breakfast maker. He would make a big breakfast feast over the weekends, the whole nine yards. So our plan was to wake up that Sunday, make him a feast, and then take him to the movie. But my sister's birthday is also that weekend, always on Father's Day weekend. And it was her 21st birthday. And she promised me she would be up and ready. Almost 18-year-old me should have known not to trust a 21-year-old.
Mm-mm.
Saying, yeah, I'll be perfectly fine the next morning after my first night. I can legally drink. She stood me up and I was pissed. I was seething while making breakfast. And then I got to the theater and I'm huffing and puffing and I'm like, that bitch. Bleh. And then we sit down to watch this and I'm sobbing.
Oh.
Crystal, what's your Toy Story 3 story?
It's actually a special event as well because I remember the first one coming out in, what was it, 95 when I was a child. Mm-hmm. And then Toy Story 2 is 99 when my sister was a child. And then this one coming out 2010 when Eric was a child.
Aww.
So it was really like so many things were happening because I was an adult at this point, more or less, but I still was going through changes and what it means to grow up. And that's such a universal sentiment. And so to see Andy and Woody and Buzz are our friends, you know, we grew up with him and, you know, especially me. So I remember the first movie, Sariana was little and she, that Christmas, her checking the tree to see if any toys were hanging out and spying. Mm-hmm. I remember that. I think I remember that. And then the second one, Eric was a baby. But I remember I was in a play at the time. I think it was in Beauty and the Beast or maybe Hairspray. No, it wasn't Hairspray. It was Beauty and the Beast. And I took Ariana and Eric to see Toy Story 3. And because there was an inkling of a number four, this felt like the end of a trilogy. It felt like the end. That's why it packed such a big punch because we thought this was it. And so to go into that movie thinking it's going to be the end with my siblings. I remember Eric taking like a toy Buzz to the movie theater.
Oh.
When he was about 5 years old, because at elementary school they had like a, when you get good grades or do good things, give like tokens or tickets or something. And at the end of the semester, you can go and buy stuff at their at the store in school. And so for Christmas, he got me a Buzz Lightyear keychain when he was like 5 years old, whatever grade that is, 5 or 6 years old. And I still have it on my keychain. I mean, he doesn't have any arms and his thing is, his helmet is gone. He's just legs and a body and a head. But I still have him on there. I still have him on my keychain. I'm going to keep it there forever till it literally breaks off. So yeah, I mean, Toy Story is such a, I know we're not talking about the first one, but that first one, like, changed American cinema. Like,
yeah.
I remember sitting in the theater going, thinking, like, wow, this is so cool, because I'd never seen anything like that before. Obviously, previously, it was just hand-drawn animation, so to see computer animated a movie, for the first one for the first time, it was just, like, it, like, blew my brain. And yeah. I rewatched all these movies, including number four, and the first one is so funny. It's hilarious. Animation is not as great, but it was 95, so whatever. But I just think, because I watched one and two so quick while watching three, I felt like I got the jokes much more. I don't know. It just felt like a whole cohesive thing. Yeah, the Toy Story 3 is perfect, I think, which is funny because I looked up the Rotten Tomatoes scores and Toy Story 1 and 2 have 100%, and this has like, Toy Story 3 has, oh shit, sorry, Toy Story 3 is 98%.
Bullshit.
I don't know why. Lies. I forgot to look up why, but I'm like, okay, whatever. So yeah, I mean, I try my best to look at it from in a film brain because it's very nostalgic to me. It feels very close to my heart. So I'm going to like it regardless. But honestly, it's such a well-crafted movie.
It's literally a perfect film.
It's stunning. And I remember people giving the movie shit at the time, that saying that like Pixar is like emotionally manipulative and they like throw things out there to make you cry. And I guess I kind of get that. But speaking in this particular of the furnace scene, but I think at that point, like when you're close to dying, your priorities change immediately. And so when they're like about to die, accepting death, that movie's all about acceptance, about accepting what's going to happen, you know, right in front of you and not holding on to whatever past is. And when you're about to die, you're like, okay, your priorities change like that. So when they didn't die and they're like, okay, yeah, we're okay with Andy's place, attic now, it's fine, you know? I think it was a well-crafted, but I remember reading about people not liking Pixar and how it, like, does things to make you cry on purpose. But I don't think that's true. Not especially with this one.
But also, it was such a redemptive moment for the aliens to get to save them with the claw. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Even if it was a little manipulative, it was a great payoff. So it's not like it was that for nothing.
I distinctly remember people cheering when that happened in the theater.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You could feel the air leave the room because we were like, people were, like, worried because, again, this was supposed to be the end. They're like, well, are they going to die? Are they going to have all these kids die? And, like, if you think about it, these movies deal with, like, a lot of serious subjects for kids.
Yeah.
They're very existential, very sophisticated in that regard, the scripts as well, the themes. So it wasn't unheard of to maybe think that they were all going to die. And I'm like, well, they're not going to show it. Are they going to show it? Like, it was very nerve-wracking. And so when the claw comes out, it's literally people cheered. And I was like, it was such an event. I'll never forget it. It was so fantastic. And then hearing later on in the last scene, people like sniffing because not one person was crying at the theater. Like, grown-ass men were crying at that movie.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I sobbed today. Doesn't help that hormonally my body is against me today. That won't help me.
You know, watching more movies that'll make you cry, that'll help.
I'm trying to catch pills in my mouth through this computer screen. Anyway, but no, this movie literally has it all. It's a comedy. It's funny as fuck.
Yeah.
It's dramatic. We have so many beautiful dramatic moments. Hold on. My dog. It has great horror moments where, like,
yes!
And the lighting and the music. There's some great horror moments. There's the adventure. There's the prison escape aspect of it, which is so great. Mm-hmm. And then it has the nostalgia aspect, too. Like, it literally ticks every box. It's not heavy-handed in one or the other. It's a really well-balanced movie.
Yeah.
I loved it.
I love and how... Sorry, go ahead.
No. You continue.
I love how cinematic it all was. Like, everything was, like, a well-crafted frame. Like, the blocking was really good, and the lighting was really good, and, like, it was very, like, especially now with Film Brain, I'm like, oh, wow, there's, like, so many good technical aspects put together here. It just looks so good, and it just looks so well done. Like, animation has come so far, and, like, I love that you can see, like, the texture of the weathering and on the plastic of the toys. Like, you just get all these little details, and it's so nice. It doesn't sacrifice visuals for story at all. They're both, like, evenly matched.
I read that John Lasseter wanted to use Lotso in the first film, but they hadn't figured out how to animate fur well enough.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of has a kind of a cameo. There's, like, a purplish pink bear up on the shelf in the first one that people are like, that was the original idea for Lotso. But in this one, they really figured out how to do the fur. And I also read that they spent weeks perfecting the reflection on the trash bags, because trash bags reflect light. And so, like, when I was watching it, and I was like, yeah, they did a really great job of whenever it goes into the truck, you can see the light bouncing off of it. Those are some smart cookies over there.
With Toy Story 4, like, the first scene is them rescuing a toy at Andy's house in the rain, and it's pouring rain. But the animation is astonishing. It looks like real rain. It looks like they're really outside, just like... it's like the first 10 minutes. Just go and watch Toy Story 4 and be amazed at how it's like each movie is elevated. And like the animation is so cool. It's so cool. It really is.
It is. And I feel like people don't give it enough credit for how much work goes into it, because as much as you have to prepare for like a live action something, just as much, if not more, preparation, I feel like, goes into animation, because you're going, like, frame by frame, even with, like, digital, like, you still have to go through, and there's so much, and I only even notice this more now, because Thody's going to school for, like, animation and game design, and how much he has to code just to make one block go this way instead of go that way. It's like, it's stupid. It's ridiculous. Like, no wonder it takes so much time. No wonder these things take years to come out, because if you want it to be halfway decent, it's so much work. Like, it takes armies of people to do this. And, like, I think at some point, I don't know if they're still doing it now, but I know that with the writer strike and the actor strike, there was also, I follow a couple of, gaming people, and they were saying they were trying to unionize and strike too. And I'm like, absolutely, because they're so valuable, and it's not just like one person doing all the work. It's teams and teams and teams of people making this happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I caught a line that I never caught before this time around, and it made me laugh so hard. Lotso says, FAO my shorts.
Yes!
I wrote that down too. I thought that was so funny.
I was like, what? How did I never notice that before? FAO my shorts.
It's so funny.
Oh my God.
So good.
It's so good.
So before Ryan Gosling, Michael Keaton was the best Ken. With that
one. Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect.
I need to recognize him. I couldn't place his voice. But now
whenever Potato's like, you're not a toy, you're an accessory. You're a purse with legs. Yeah, I was laughing so hard. It was so funny.
I love how much, like, how much personality each of them has. Like, Mr. Potato Head is such a bitch. He's so mean. Like,
or when later on where he shows up in the, like, the tunnel thing and he's the cucumber and he's like, I feel fresh, healthy. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Nothing is funnier to me than Tortilla, Mr. Potato Head.
Yes!
The theater lost it when that happened.
Brought the house down.
Roar of laughter when he came out. So oh funny.
Oh my God.
It's so genius. It's so funny. And the way he just, like, flops around kills me. And then the way he, like, just splits. It's chef's kiss. It's perfect.
And he's still giving the pigeon shit, like, get out of here!
Mm-hmm.
Like, this shit is so funny.
It is.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
It's so even good. his lines in Toy Story 1 are really funny. Like, Don Rickles, RIP. Like, he's just a comedian. Mm-hmm. When he's like, you uncultured swine. I love that.
Oh my God. These movies are just, like, so funny. And I love that they're like kids will find them funny and adults will find them funny. Like, it's across the board funny. It's not limited to just, like, one age group.
Or I love one in the first movie whenever Ham says, way to go, Idaho, when he's talking to Potato Head. This is so funny. God.
excuse me. It hit a little different watching it this time around because, and Crystal, I'm sure you felt it when you watched it the first time, is I have a niece and a nephew who are now have these toys. And I'm like, you know, Lotso Bear is, she has her Lotso Bear, her Lovey. And the love and the care that she has for that stuffed elephant is insane. She literally like rocks it to sleep and like pats it and tucks it in. It's her comfort. It is her like favorite thing in the world. The other night when I put her to sleep, I had to kiss her goodnight and Lovey goodnight. I had to sing Lovey his own song. I had to sing Baby Mine to her and Baby Mine to Lovey. And I'm like, watching Toy Story now, I was like, she's going to have her toys like that.
Sorry.
And I was like, crying.
Are there any toys when y'all were a kid that those y'all's comfort toy?
I had like a Minnie Mouse, like a plushy Minnie Mouse, that I really loved. That it was like, at the time I was so little that it was my size. It was like toddler size. It was really big. And then at one point I had, Barbie's, purple bug. So I had a Barbie bug that I loved. But instead of Barbies, I had the like tween, like Mary-Kate and Ashley dolls. Instead of Barbies. Okay. I was like, I don't want a Barbie. I want Mary-Kate.
Oh my God.
So that's
when we used the
Barbie car. I don't know how I ended up with those, but I was like very, 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 very happy. Like, those are my favorite. And I remember because they had the, what was that show that they had?
So Little Time.
I think so. Yeah, I think they had the outfits from So Little Time. It was the long denim skirt and the, like, baseball tee. Those ones. I still remember that.
Style icons.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I love them.
I don't know if I had one particular toy. I have a few. I'm remembering a stuffed dog that it didn't dawn on me until, like, after I had gotten Rocket. Looks like it was an old English sheepdog. Pet stuffed animal, and I think that's why I was so drawn to Rocket, because he's an old English sheepdog mix. He was like a shaggy black, white, and it was like a grayish, more grayish than black puppy dog. But I think I had a white blanket that I was more attached to than like a toy, and I was always much more into playing pretend like purses, and I was a mom with a baby. We called it purses because we would dress up our purses and pick out our purse and what would go in the purse, and that was like half the game.
Oh my God, that's cute.
But yeah, like I played with Barbies and stuff, but none of them, that I can remember are like sticking out as like my favorites. What about you, Crystal?
My thing was Polly Pockets.
Loved her. I love Polly Pockets.
I love that I could play, do a little play, and then close it up and put it in like a bag or purse or whatever, a backpack or something. I loved that. I had Barbies, but I wasn't allowed to touch them. They were in a box in a shelf high up in the room for some stupid ass reason. I don't know why.
I had those too.
I meant to ask
Millennium
my mom,
Barbie
was,
and
yeah, there was one in a pretty Christmas dress I never touched. I saw it all the time, but I never touched
were
it.
Were those like
test my, what?
Collectible Barbies?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I never touched it. I honestly don't know. But I didn't meant to ask my mom and dad like if I had any toy when I was younger, but I forgot. But with Adriana, she loved, if y'all remember Land Before Time, the small the purple dinosaur Chomper.
Yeah.
She had like a stuffed monito of it, and she, that was her thing. She was all about Chomper. She even bought it, eventually like tore up and messed up, but she found one on like Amazon or something and she bought it. And so she has it in her shelf. And then Eric was all about Hot Wheels. Hot Wheels was his thing. Like he still has some of them in a box somewhere. Like he was all about Hot Wheels. He would always take one everywhere he went. And because I was in a, you know, basically an adult at the time, I would clean out my purses and have like 6 or 7 Hot Wheels in there. That we would go somewhere and he didn't want to lose it. So he'd put it in somebody's purse, but not tell us. And they don't really weigh that much until you have like 6 of them in your purse. And I'm like, why is my purse heavy? Oh, that's why. And then Charlie really isn't, she's not attached too much to toys, but she really was attached to my mom. My mom's sleep dresses that are like silk.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Charlie, my mom would like rock her sleep or whatever, and so she kept super. Charlie got really attached to those sleep dresses. So my mom would cut an old one up and give it to her, and she'd sleep with that. She calls that her Mimi, and she's not as like protective. Before she was like, "Don't look at it. Don't, it's my Mimi. Don't." Blah, blah. And it would be my mom would have to like switch it out because she wouldn't let her take it to clean it. And my mom's like, "You know, it was nasty. Like, we gotta clean this stuff out." So anyways, yeah, I don't think she has like something she's attached to too much right now, but the Mimi was the main thing when she was younger.
That's so cute. I love that.
Sweet.
Anybody?
Nope, we're just gonna have some silence for the rest of the podcast.
I think that's it. I think that's all, right?
Bonnie is so cute.
Bonnie is so cute.
She's so cute. Oh.
Cannot.
With her little hair.
I just wanna hug her. Her at the very end. Play it again. Go.
I was gonna say I just love that we got to see like a little girl being that creative and it wasn't all like princesses and dolls. It was the haunted like cafe.
Yeah
exactly. That. Also, I wrote this about the first movie, but it applies here too. That Andy and possibly Bonnie are definitely D&D players.
Andy, babe, call me.
Oh my god.
Like, I was watching the first movie and I was like, oh, he definitely plays D&D now. Like, he just has to. Or maybe he watches it, but he definitely is interested. Bonnie, maybe not. But I don't know. But definitely, like, I don't remember having this much imagination when I was that young. It was a long time ago, so who knows. But just, I don't know. My thing was I would reenact movies or something that I'd seen. Like I'd go to I'd see a movie or a cartoon or whatever, and then I'd immediately want to go reenact it. So I was a plagiarizer rather than an imaginator.
You were an actress.
Yeah, I would definitely play in borrowed worlds.
Yeah.
We would play. I remember I had a little friend, one of the other siblings on like my brother's soccer team or baseball team. And so we would both always show up to practice and we would go off and play on the playground or whatever. And we played like Spy Kids. And we weren't exactly like Junie and Carmen, but we were, you know, kids who were Spy Kids in the Spy Kids universe.
You were a spinoff show.
We were.
Do it.
You remember that movie Cats and Dogs?
Yes.
That got a lot of playtime.
Oh my God.
Because I liked dogs and she liked cats, so to be a dog. But yeah.
I think when we were kids, the only things we reenacted a lot of the same stuff. It was just like Jurassic Park, The Lost World, Jurassic Park 3.
Were you acting out a dinosaur? You would not.
Yeah, we were acting out different scenes. Because the twins had bunk beds for the longest time. So we would like reenact scenes and we could be like, oh, when they're up in the tree, like we can jump off the bed onto the other bed or onto the floor or whatever, because like it was up high. Yeah, I think it was mostly Jurassic Park stuff. I can't remember us doing.
Are you wearing a Jurassic Park shirt right now?
Yes! Oh my god, I didn't even do that on purpose.
But isn't that a dinosaur next to you? Or no, that's a peacock.
Where? No, it's a peacock.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I played pretend a lot. Like I said, we would have our purses and we would, you know, go to work. And we played a lot of school. Played so much school. My friends and I were spoiled rotten. And we each had our own overhead projector.
What?
I know.
How?
You can buy them at Office Max. Like.
Oh, really?
One of us would get it, and then it was on all of our next birthdays and Christmas lists. So we would get it, and we would buy the vis-a-vis markers that you could write on them with it, and we would go to different rooms and play school, and then we'd meet in the teacher's lounge to have our coffee or our soda. We played bank a lot. We had cash registers, like the ones you can get from Office Max. Like, we had diaper bags, like real diaper bags with real baby bottles for our babies. Like, we played intense pretend.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty intense.
And we would ask at the end of every school year, we would go to all of our favorite teachers and be like, do you have any stuff, anything you're getting rid of, any books or whatever? And we had like teachers, the books that the teachers would teach out of, we had those. Because we would go and ask like Miss Myers, and a bunch of our old like favorite teachers would just give us stuff because they loved us. We'd be like, yeah, go play.
That is so cute.
For birthdays and stuff, we'd get each other like teachers' tools gift cards. So we could go to teachers' tools and buy like grade books and like things like that. We were intense.
That sounds very much like you. You don't half-ass anything. You're going to commit.
No.
You're going to be a teacher for real.
But I think that's also why I really enjoy D&D, because it's so immersive and it's so, like, I get to play pretend again. It's very fun.
I like that.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
One of my favorite things about these movies is the way Woody runs is so funny to me. I die. Oh. I laugh every time.
He's like flailing.
I caught another moment that I'd never caught before. At the very end, when they're showing all of the, like, the toys playing at Bonnie's or what's going on at the daycare, when they're at Bonnie's, Jesse plays the music and Buzz starts dancing with her again. He's like, what's happening or whatever. They all gather around and they're watching, and Woody starts to dance, and Mr. Potato Head looks at him like, oh my god, son, what are you doing?
Oh, embarrassing, cringe. Oh.
Yeah. It was buddy, no.
What's cool about that scene is you'll know the person, Joy. So they filmed real ballroom dancers dancing that and then animated off of that. And it's Cheryl is one of the dancers that they featured.
Really?
I remember watching behind the scenes because I admittedly am a huge Dancing with Stars fan. Kill me. But at the time, I remember them doing like a feature on the episode of the Dancing with Stars, and it was Cheryl and Tony, and they were doing the choreography, and then the camera's like basically shooting them, and then that was then animated to Woody and Jesse.
That is so cool.
And they're credited they're in the credits as the dance choreographers of the movie, which I think is cool.
I love that.
I blank.
Are you watching the current season of Dancing with the Stars?
No.
No.
I haven't really watched it since we all lived together.
That's fair. I'm such a bitch for that show. I just can't help it. I complain. I bitch every season. Like, this show, there's no stars, but I end up watching it every time.
It's just
I think the last full season I watched was the Frankie Muniz season.
Oh, that was good. He was so good. That was a good season. Yeah. Honestly, this season is good. They have like Jason Mraz. I'm so surprised by.
I want him to win so bad. I love Sochi and For the Culture, but like Jason Mraz
is so good. Also, that Adriana girl. Ariana Maddox, that's her name.
Ariana Maddox.
Yeah.
She's on some reality show I've never seen.
She's really, really good. I was like very surprised.
Yeah. Also, it's really nice to see, because also because I've watched the show for so long, I'm also a fan of the dancers themselves, the pros. And so Ariana's partner, Pasha, who's married to Daniela, who I love, who is Jason's partner. Pasha has never really had a partner to really, he get to show off his talents, because he's had like people that are like kind of good, but they're clearly ones that they're gonna go and like in the middle of the season not really actually win. So to see him like having a partner like worthy of his talent is actually really great. I'm like, oh wow, Pasha's fantastic, because
he
Pasha had Kay Flattery from The Office, who like she's fine, but she's not gonna win clearly. He had a couple partners like that, but to have someone who could actually win, like she's really good. She's up there.
I think like she's up there with Jason Mraz, I think. Yeah. Also because it was like such a surprise, like, you know, she's never done dance, so
I really hate to admit it, but that Bachelor bitch is good too. I forgot her name. She's with Arda.
Oh my god! Why did I want to say her name is Cheryl? I don't think it's Cheryl.
It's Charlotte. Cheryl? Something with a C. Charity.
She's really great. I love seeing her get better. I love seeing her progress, and she's really sweet. What the fuck? I was so surprised and pissed, obviously, because they've been eliminating all the good people and leaving the shitty TikToker on there. Matt Walsh in episode one, I was like, he can dance?
Because I'm on the Dancing with Stars circles on Twitter. Like, there was talk of, because they had, he had posted, like, I'm in the Writers Guild, and if they don't reach an agreement, I'm not showing up to rehearsal. I have respect for my writers. So there was talk of that. And then, like, a couple of days before the premiere, they reached an agreement. And then all of a sudden, Matt Walsh is eliminated. So there was talk that, like, maybe it was rigged. They didn't want to deal with that. I don't know for sure. I don't work for the show. I don't know. But people be talking, blah, blah, blah. Because he was not bad.
He wasn't. He was actually, I think he was better than Mauricio. Mauricio's gotten better, but he was better than Mauricio. And he was better than that TikTok bro that literally is so stiff. He's like fucking walking icicles. Like, this man can't move.
This past episode, you don't care. Well, you'll get there, Joy. But this past episode, he was kind of like, oh, I just hate people talking shit about me on the internet. Like, people.
No, I saw it. And I was so
I'm just trying to live my life. I'm like, well, because you're terrible. I'm like, go away.
You're on a show to be judged. Like, there's judges there judging you. And you know what social media is like.
Oh, so you're caught up?
Yes. Pissed.
Anyways, that's the Dancing with Stars corner.
And I'm back.
we'll just tag our favorite dances so far from the season on the post.
Don't play with
We'll just send them to you, Anna, because some of them are really, really good. They're worth a watch. Just the dances.
So in the very beginning, whenever they're calling Andy's phone to get him to pick him up or the toys up in the cabinet, I think I had that cell phone. It was a blue QSL.
With the tiny antenna on the top.
Yeah, yes. I think I had that exact phone.
Yes. I feel like back then, like when cell phones were becoming like a thing, I feel like they only made like 5 different types of cell phones.
Yeah,
and probably. That was all we could pick from. Like, there wasn't really a variety. Like, there was the BlackBerry for the business bitches. There was the Sidekick for the, like, fabulous bitches. There was the Bricks for the regular people. There was the Flips. The
regular bitches, yeah.
And I'm sure there was, like, one other one.
But then a few years later, there was a million different kinds. You could get the ones that slide to the, like, slide sideways, slide up. There's the one that like flipped open and then it flipped to the side.
Yes.
And then my friend had the tiniest little phone. I mean, it couldn't be more than like 6 inches. And it had the tiniest little keyboard and it was so fun to text on. And then you had like the ones you could switch out the color, like the, you could snap on different colors on them.
Covers.
there was a moment where you could have just about any kind of cell phone. They had like rounder looking ones, and if you watch the beginning seasons of Pretty Little Liars, you'll see a variety of them.
Speaking of, Joy, I need you to watch Mike recaps of Gossip Girl, because he comments on, he's like, this is the so-and-so cell phone era. Like, he talks about it, and it's so
Oh, my God.
Everybody
watch. Can I remember? Go ahead.
No, you're fine.
There was like a whole meme about it back in the day, but also like I think when Gossip Girl first got on Netflix or wherever it was that everybody started rewatching it again, people made it a meme, because there's a scene where Blake Lively's character is like, oh, I'm so done with stuff. So she throws her whole cell phone in the trash can on the street. Like, it's no big deal. It's just a cell phone. I'm going to throw it all away and no one can find me. Like, they don't know where she lives or goes to school.
Mike's my comments on that. I need you to watch this story. He's so funny. You'll really
love it. I have it saved on my watch thingy on YouTube.
I haven't even watched Gossip Girl, and I loved his recap. It was so good.
I haven't rewatched Gossip Girl since I moved. So I'm thinking I'm going to do that soon.
Do you like have to watch it every year, every 2 years, something like that?
I do watch it every so often, because even before like streaming was a thing and it was on streaming, I had the DVDs of the first two seasons. So I would rewatch them.
If you go back and you watch Pretty Little Liars, there's a fun scene where Lucy Hale is on her iPhone upside down.
I love stuff like that. It's so funny.
Pretty Little Liars was like, oh my God, just as much of a mess of a show as it was as Gossip Girl was.
Such a mess.
Especially with all the phones and all the like the secret picture taking and all that stuff. It's great.
Oh my God.
Mike recap of those is also brilliant.
I haven't seen those either, but I'm going to, because even though I didn't watch Pretty Little Liars, I'll watch those.
Like,
that was his first one, and it's so insane.
I kind of want to go back and rewatch Pretty Little Liars, but I kind of don't. So I feel like if I watch his version, his like recaps of it, that'll be enough to be like, okay, I rewatched it. Because I know what happens.
About Glee, I watched up until Rachel went into New York, and I was like, I'm done. But I watched his recaps of the seasons I didn't watch. I was like, oh, okay, I'm good. I don't need to watch anything. I'm fine.
Yeah.
Hilarious. Hilarious.
Yeah.
So back to this movie. Returning Buzz to his factory settings is so cruel.
That was such an evil moment.
Oh my God.
We really were pushing the boundaries of morality with this movie. Like, I was feeling like, this is cruel and unusual punishment. This is
abominable. It was torture.
Yeah, it's torture. I was like, okay, what? And then whenever that happened, I forgot, because I hadn't seen this movie in a million years. I was like, are they going to be able to turn him back? Because I don't think you can do that.
I completely forgot how he turns back. And I was like, oh my God, what's going to happen? I was like, he denies being Spanish when they're in the furnace. So how was that? I was so confused.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, did you see Sid?
No, yeah. Where?
He was the trash man in the very beginning when he listened to music. Yeah, that's Sid.
Aww.
Yeah. He still got the sweater, right?
the shirt.
That's what I meant.
It's cool, yeah. Because in animation, they wear the same clothes even when they're adults. I love that.
Yeah. Same haircut, same clothes, same everything.
I'm also pretty sure that's the same field where Jesse was left.
Oh, yes. It looks just like it. Is that like perpetual toys get lost field?
Rewatching that scene is heartbreaking.
Girl, no.
Because you know Daisy was screaming and crying for those toys, and her parents scrambled to run to the store to get it replaced.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Like, we talk, again, we're not talking about Toy Story 2, but we love when a song nominated is featured in the movie, and that is a perfect example of how it is telling the story, moving it along, but it's so... The words are poignant. The acting is on point. Like, you see, oh my God, I'm going to cry. It was beautiful. That song is gorgeous.
Sarah McLachlan?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, yeah. Tears, yeah. tears. I can't rewatch that without just being like, it's like full on sobbing. It's too much. When Sarah McLachlan is sad, I'm sad.
The first one's really good about that too, because Randy Newman does a good job of, there's that scene in the first one where Buzz has just seen the commercial and realized he's a toy and he's like having a crisis. So the song is playing and he sees the window and he's like, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to fly. So he climbs up and he goes and then he slowly starts to fall. Right. And then he hits the ground. And then the song says, I will go sailing no more. And then Buzz is just looking at the sky like, beautiful. This is an animated movie. Oh my God. Fantastic. Art. You know what else I need to bring back? Animated bloopers. The second one has bloopers, and I'm like, these are great. I miss
them. They're so funny.
Yes.
Just like, I feel like just bloopers in general, because like, I would have loved to see some bloopers on some of these shows or some of these movies, especially like things that are not comedy, and then they just end up breaking anyways. Like, it's.
I think that's one of the many things I miss about DVDs is the special features.
Yeah.
And behind the scenes bits, the gag reel. Like, we may get that if it's like a Netflix show and they post it on their YouTube channel, but we don't get that anymore. And I miss that so much about DVDs.
Or like director's commentary. Blu-rays. Director's commentary.
Which is basically a podcast at this point, if you think about it.
I know. I really want more of that. I want directors to just sit down and tell me everything. Yeah, I want to know.
I just think give me your brain. Watching the actor's commentary on Scooby-Doo and listening to Freddie Prinze Jr. and Linda Cardellini talking about that scene where they're dancing at the end. He's like, and Freddie Prinze Jr. is like, look, guys, okay, this is my move. He's like, look, I'm driving the bus. And stop. And open the door. He's like talking through his dance moves. It's so funny.
I love that. I miss
commentaries.
Yeah. We need more fun stuff. More fun stuff.
For real.
Just put the fun stuff in there.
Ben Affleck doing the commentary for Armageddon and talking about how stupid the whole premise is.
Yes.
He's like, don't you think it's smarter for them to train astronauts how to drill than for drillers to go into space?
I forgot about that. It's just so funny. Oh man.
That's so good.
You kids don't even know. You kids don't even know.
They're missing out.
So I believe it. Wait, hold on. Where's my note? Oh, I am so like, they're so ride or die. Whenever Woody gets pulled into the dumpster with Lotso pulls him in, and every single one of them jumps into the dumpster for Woody without hesitation. They're like, let's go get him. Like, it will, because even Barbie was going to go, but Ken was like, no, because Ken's not really part of the group. So it would make sense for him to not go as quick. But they were just ride or die. Like,
I love that.
I'm going to cry. Yeah, that entire sequence in the dumpster, all that was very dramatic. I was getting anxious, even though I knew what was going to happen. Like, when Rex is like, I see daylight. And I'm like, oh, God, that's not daylight. And then Jesse's like, what are we going to do? Looking at Buzz, like, them holding hands, a close-up of their hands closing. Jesus Christ.
Do y'all have a favorite of the Toy Story toys that you feel attached to? For me, it's Rex.
Yeah, probably
Rex.
When he's like, I don't like confrontation. I'm like,
yeah. Same, buddy.
Same. Yeah.
I got short arms that can't reach shit. I, up until like a couple months ago when I finally gave it to my niece, I had a Rex toy that when you squeezed it would go, it was so cute. I've had it since this movie came out, I think.
Or the first movie, he's trying to like be scary and he's like, rawr! He's like, did I scare you? He was like, I was close to being scared that time. Like, just the idea of a dinosaur who's supposed to be the idea of a T-Rex who's supposed to be the scariest and is not, is that that idea is so funny. He's just so mild-mannered, like, I don't know. Just hilarious.
Oh
my God.
So cute.
I remember, because I was, I was crying a lot from like the furnace to the end. But when I watched it this time, I was like anxious at the furnace, and then I started to lose it when Bonnie and Andy are playing together. Yes. And then I was like a mess whenever Bonnie grabs, like, to wave at Andy, grabs Woody's hand, and he like gasps. And he's like, "Thanks, guys." Oh, jeez.
And then Woody says, "What does he say? So they partner? So long partner. I was like,
"It was
no, I'm gonna cry again."
It was perfect, and I was kind of. So I rewatched 4 yesterday, and I was like, I remember why I hated this movie in the beginning, because 3 was so perfect. They tied it so well at the end with the bow. It was a closing of Andy, and that was really beautiful. Mm-hmm. And 4 is not bad, because it closes Woody's story, but
yeah.
It was ultimately, I don't want to say it's unnecessary, because Woody is a character that we love and enjoy, and there's really some creepy moments in 4, but if it didn't happen, I would be okay. Because, like I said, 3 is so perfect. Like, it's a perfect ending right down to the last shot where the camera pans up to the sky and it closed the bookends of the first movie with the clouds. Like,
yeah.
Those clouds are iconic. Iconic. I don't know. This movie is perfect. That's all I can say. It's just perfect.
I still haven't watched the 4th one, and I just don't think I will. I think I'm good.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
Especially I think it's like decent. Woody.
Yeah, because it closes out his story. Especially because I was like, "Oh, is that really happening?" Oh, I guess so. But it makes sense for what happens. But I just think, and then they're gonna make a 5th one. Why?
Oh, they are.
Yeah. Which was makes sense because Woody isn't with Buzz anymore.
Has passed.
Who?
Well, Don Rickles, Slinky, Mrs. Potato Head. Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head voice actors are both dead. The original Slinky.
Well, yeah,
there but was
the new actor.
The guy who replaced him.
Yeah.
I feel like there's another one I'm
that
missing.
That makes me think that they're going to stay with Woody's story than they would with Bonnie. If they're going to do a 4th one.
Maybe. Because
I don't know. Again, I don't, like, that's enough. Because, again, 3 was so perfect. And not only that, though, they made a huge deal about it being the end. So for them to say, oh, all of a sudden it's the 4th one, well, no, then you kind of, like, I don't know. It's not bad. It's really not. The animation alone is phenomenal. Just that first 10 minutes. And then you get to see Bo Peep. She comes back, which is nice.
Oh,
yeah. But. Anyways.
No, I appreciated 4, but I don't think there needs to be a 5.
Yeah. I'm glad we got to see what happened with Woody and Buzz and all that. But again, if they had left it at 3, it would have been completely fine. Do y'all have a favorite Toy Story movie?
It's probably... I don't know. They're all so good for different reasons.
I'm probably going to say this is the second one.
I'd have to say the first one, because that one made me laugh so much.
Then I'll say the third.
Especially that the whole idea.
Wait, and that goes in age order, too.
I was thinking the same thing.
The old lady is speaking. Everybody shut up.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm going to interrupt her again, just for the jokes.
What?
Keep going.
I'm going to mute myself. Hold on.
Thank God.
Okay, great.
No, anyway, so my favorite movie is the first one. One of my favorite lines in that movie is when he's, like, talking about Buzz, and he's like, I think the word you're searching for is Space Ranger. And Woody's like, the word I'm searching for, I can't say, because it's preschool toy.
Yeah.
That's just hilarious. Also, the acting by Tom Hanks.
It's so good.
I wrote in Best Actor, Tom Hanks.
Thanks.
Serious. Fair. I need people to nominate, like, people in voice acting roles. Because they're right. Yeah. I think that first movie is really funny. The whole, like, you are a toy. Like, that shit is really good.
Also, the callback to it in this one when they're like, oh, God, not this again.
Yeah. He's like, and the second one, he's like, Buzz, I was a yo-yo. And he's like, was. She's hilarious. Was.
Oh, man.
I love these movies. Okay, so then what's your favorite Pixar movie?
Bitch, why?
Hold on, let me look through the long ass list.
I say that, but
the first one that pops in my head is Monsters, Inc. It has a very, like, special place in my heart.
It's so cute.
It's so good.
Yeah. I really liked Finding Nemo is really great.
Finding Nemo.
The Incredibles is fantastic.
So good. Oh, I really liked A Bug's Life. I love A Bug's Life. I used to watch that all the time. A Bug's Life
is great.
I'm a beautiful butterfly. Like, that shit is hilarious. My favorite line when he's flying, he's like, oh, don't even look like little ants. That's so funny. This shit is classic.
The recent ones, Coco is a favorite of mine. Coco, I just rewatched it last weekend and cried my eyes out.
I meant to watch for Day of the Dead, but I forgot.
Love that for you. What else? I really liked Ratatouille. I thought Ratatouille is really cute.
I just saw WALL-E for the first time like a year and a half ago.
What?
Lauren and I watched it with Inez, and we just sobbed what the fuck? How did we miss that movie?
Shut up! Well, it
came out at a time where I had, like, it was right before I started driving, like, a month or so before I started driving, and we were all, like, none of us were little kids anymore, so we weren't, like, asking to go see the new animated movie, so it just kind of fell perfectly in that little hole where I wasn't going to see animated movies by myself, or I wasn't going to movies by myself yet, even though that's, like, the first thing I did when I got my license. I was like, I'm going to go see Mamma Mia. Or was it, it was either Mamma Mia or Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants 2.
Yes! Oh my God, I love those two. Those are my
I've never seen any
anyway.
Oh my God, shut up. I love Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants was like my whole personality for like 3 years. Because there was a Latina girl in there. So I was like, oh my God, I feel represented by a
book. Are you like, oh my God, I love traveling. I love pants. Let's do it.
I do. I love both.
Here's how disconnected I was from my, like, what's the word I'm looking for? From my culture, I related much more to Libby and Lena. Because I was so romantic.
I felt like you were going to say Lena for sure. Because Lena is, like, it's so Anna-coded. It's, like, so.
Yes.
So oh, my God. I'm going to watch the movie, aren't I?
But you also what? Libby, in, like, that I felt like I was left behind by my friends aww. At the time. So I was like, but mostly Lena, film yeah. girl.
I guess I'm going to rewatch. I have to watch this movie because I don't know anything you're saying right now.
I need you to watch it. And I know who you're going to be too anyway. So that's fine.
Oh, God.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, 100p.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Bridget, next right?
Halloween.
Is that a Halloween movie?
Bridget. No, next Halloween we should dress up as them.
Yeah, but we don't have a Bridget. But
when we record the podcast, fuck Bridget. Oh.
Hey, she was going through stuff, okay? There was shit happening.
Fair, okay? But also.
But also, yeah.
You know what else is a good Pixar movie? Turning Red.
Oh my God, that was so good. That was
it was so
cute.
Good, like it gave me like a panic attack. And it's not even a movie that's supposed to give you a panic attack. It's about a mother and a daughter, and it's about culture. And it was I couldn't fully absorb it when I watched it because I watched it with my family and I was like,
Oh my god.
Ariana was like, maybe we should turn it off. So then I saw it later on with myself and I was like, okay, now I can cry.
A Pixar movie that no one else liked that I sobbed through like a baby was The Good Dinosaur.
Nobody saw that. I feel like no one saw it.
And no one saw it, but I happened to see it in theaters and I lost my shit. I thought it was so sad and so beautiful. I also really like Brave. I think Brave is great.
I haven't seen Brave since it came out.
I think Brave is cute.
I don't remember.
I saw most of Elemental. I was like half paying attention. But I was like, I told my sister, I was like, if I was fully paying attention to this, I'd be crying. I already know.
Also, Encanto. Encanto.
Wait, was that Pixar?
Was it Pixar? Am I tripping?
No.
Damn it,
sorry.
It was Disney.
Just kidding.
There's an
Inside Out. Inside Out was great.
There's an upcoming Pixar film called Elio.
Like Luca, did you guys watch Luca?
Luca was so cute.
The TikTok of Luca going around with the song, the ABBA song from the crescendo from like Chiquitita. That's how I ended up watching it because I was like, this is so cute. And then I watched it. And I was like, this is so cute. It's so fucking cute.
Well, I watched it because it has my son in it. He voices one of the boys, so I had to watch it.
Oh, yes. The boys are so cute.
I'm sorry. Well, I guess our son. We all claim him as our son.
He is our son. Yes.
It's so cute. It's so cute. I can't stand it. Those two kids and the little girl. Oh my God.
Yes.
They're so adorable. And the end,
yeah.
Basically adopts him. Oh my God, bitch. Sobbing.
You know what else I watched like a couple of months ago? Onward. It was actually pretty good.
I heard it was good.
Yeah. And I wasn't expecting it to be that good. And I was like, okay. It's about brothers.
I think it might be, that and Lightyear I haven't seen. Oh, and Soul. Never mind. There's a lot I haven't seen.
Soul is so good.
It's perfect season for it right now, which I think we mentioned in the last podcast, but it's
it is. We did.
Yeah.
But it's okay. Go watch it anyways, because it's so good.
Although, forewarning, it gave me like a huge existential crisis, so.
It's going to do that, yeah. So just, probably like, don't watch it while you're hormonal.
Like really bad. Like I had to like sit in a room in the darkness for like an hour. I'm not joking. And then also this was 2020, so that didn't help. But
oh my God, yeah. Yeah, that is when we watched that. Eesh. I feel like Pixar I feel like it has more great movies than bad movies, so
yeah.
I don't think there's anything.
Well, Cars 3 was kind of meh. But it wasn't bad. It was just
I never saw Cars 3.
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't think I did either. I never really liked any of the Cars.
I liked the first one because I liked the idea of it. And I like the whole different, like seeing the different world like that. But then So yeah. I was just thinking what you said about, Anna, about like not seeing movies because you were like a teenager. I never really had that because by the time I was old enough, my sister came. And so then I was again watching kid stuff. And then by the time she was getting older, Eric came. So then I was watching more kid stuff. So I never really stopped watching kid things.
I love watching kid things.
Which is really funny to me. And then when I got old enough and I got a car, then it was my job to take Eric to the movies or Mariana or whoever. So I was seeing movies all the time that I was like, okay. Like I remember I was mad at my mom or something. And she was like, take Eric to the movies. And he wanted to see How to Train Your Dragon. And I was like, I was annoyed for some stupid teenage reason. And then I was like, the movie's going to suck anyway. I don't care. But I ended up bawling my eyes out because I loved it so much. And I was like, I'm so glad that's I came so to the movie.
How to Train Your Dragon. That's a really good series. That's a really good series. It's so cute. It really is.
It's good. They're going to make a live action one. Did you know that?
I thought I heard that, but I didn't know if they were going to do it, like, actually.
And I don't understand why.
I don't know why we have to make live-action versions of animated things when the animated things are already good. Animated doesn't mean it's not as good as live-action. If anything, sometimes it's better. And a lot of the times, it's just a better medium for certain things because you can't translate certain things like... Like, for example, if you tried to do Soul live action, sure, like, nature's pretty and you can bump up the colors and the contrast and stuff, but you can have so much more control over it when it's animated. It's just better that way. Like, I don't understand people's, it's the same thing with, like, subtitles. You can get over the fucking subtitles to watch a quote-unquote foreign movie. You can get over the fact that something's not live action so you can watch a good film.
Yeah, sometimes for me, like, I don't like them only because I get distracted, and with words, I want to read them, but I also need to see. So I keep going back and forth. So personally, I can't always have subtitles if it's a movie that I'm, well, obviously I have to if it's like a foreign film, but I feel like I'm not fully paying attention to what's being shown because I have to read, especially if it's really fast. I just don't, I can't, I don't know. My brain is not fast enough or something. I don't know.
Have you guys seen that test thing that pops up on like TikTok every once in a while or Instagram where it's like, if you're reading this at this speed, you are reading at like X amount of what, and if you can read, and it speeds up. Have you seen those?
No.
You ever been able to keep up with it?
Sometimes, yeah.
I like got to the fastest, like you're reading 20 times, whatever, and I was like, is this test real or am I like crazy? Because I'm understanding and reading this fine. Well, yeah.
Because like I can, I've done those things before and I can read pretty fast. How much I can retain is very limited. Like I'll get through it quickly, but I'm going to retain like 5% of that shit.
It's my mom, when she was in college, took speed reading and shorthand. Ooh. So when she was showing me how to write shorthand, it literally looks like hieroglyphics.
Yeah.
Really?
It's very interesting.
I've never seen it before.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
It's like one stroke means this, but if you add on to it, it means this. And if you add on this and this, it means that it means something different.
Like another language, basically.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I've wanted to learn how to be like a stenographer. Because I think that those machines look fun. Yeah. I just like pressing buttons. I just like pressing buttons.
You need one of those fidget the spinner, not the spinner, fidget thingies. We pop in out the
window. You really need one of those
I need a button.
You need one of those child developmental toys where you have all the different buttons that you can do. That's what you need. Where it like lights up and colors and the sounds and whatever. Yeah.
Don't put me in the room with the big red button because bitch is gonna be tempted.
You slowly see your finger go close to it.
I just want to know what that click sounds like, you know?
Oh. That's a very satisfying click. It's like, yeah, I feel that.
Very interesting.
And how does it feel when I go really fast? I need to know.
So there were, including, in addition to this movie, there are two other animated pictures nominated for Best Picture. Do you know which ones they were?
Beauty and the Beast. Lion King.
It is also Disney, so. Or Pixar, actually.
Was it the first Toy Story?
Nope.
hold on. Is it The Incredibles? No.
No.
WALL-E?
No.
All right, I'm just going to go through the whole list if you keep giving me time.
It was Up in 2009.
Oh.
Shrek was the first animated movie
screenplay?
Winner. Shrek was.
Oh, okay.
I knew there was something about Shrek.
Yeah, Shrek is important because it was the first animated feature win. Because they didn't have that category until that year.
Right.
What's interesting about Toy Story as well, like we talked about it earlier, how the first one was so... like groundbreaking for cinema. I had this up and then I accept it. Toy Story, I can't remember it won like actual Oscars, but it definitely got, but John Lasseter, who's the director, got, he got an honorary Oscar Special Achievement Award, and it says, for the development and inspired application of techniques that have made possible the first feature-length computer animated film. They invented an award because it was that iconic.
Amazing.
That's nuts.
There.
That is crazy.
Yeah, it was nominated for Best Writing, Original Screenplay, Original Song, and Best Music. Oh, I guess back in the 90s, they had song and score different categories. Also, I'm looking at here that Best Writing... for Toy Story 1, Josh Whedon is in here, as well as one of the Coen brothers.
What? Oh. Yeah, Joel Coen.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's incredible.
Interesting.
You know, the monkey in this stupid movie creeps me out so bad. His, oh my
That's what I look like when I don't sleep.
Ma'am, I've seen you not sleeping. You're not that bad.
Okay, thanks.
That monkey is terrifying. His giant eyeballs and his screech and his cymbals. That's not.
Yeah.
That's not.
He's not the cute one from Phantom of the Opera.
Even that one, even the one from Phantom of the Opera kind of creeps me out too. So maybe it's just like,
they're all
creepy. It's just like those, like the music box monkeys, I guess.
So I also have a fun fact. So Billy Crystal, Chevy Chase, Bill Murray, Mel Gibson, and Bruce Willis all passed on Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
They said, no, thank you. And then Pixar originally wanted Jim Carrey for Buzz and Paul Newman for Woody. But they couldn't afford them. They didn't have the budget for them. And that was to represent like old and new. So like Woody is the old style and then the new is Buzz. But they couldn't get him because they were too broke. Or they didn't have enough in the budget.
That's really smart, actually. I'm sorry. Paul Newman would have been great. Paul Newman would have been great. Jim Carrey.
Which later voices the blue car in Cars. What is that character's name? I forgot.
Vroom, vroom.
Your mom.
No. Any last notes, anybody?
I did read a little piece of trivia that before the third one came out, and I forget which year, what year this was around, but there was a moment where Disney was and Pixar were going to split, right? And there was a whole lot of, there was going to be a new studio that was going to make sequels of Pixar films without any of the original creators attached. And so one of them was the proposed third Toy Story film. And it was going to be about Buzz having a defect and being shipped to Taiwan to the manufacturer to get fixed. And the toys trying to go after him and save him from that.
Oh, my God.
That's completely
It would have different. Taken it international.
Whoa.
Which would have been cool at one point.
But then an agreement was struck, and part of the agreement was that all sequels in development at that during that in-between time were to be trashed and no longer, they weren't going to proceed forward with any of those.
Yeah, I don't like that they were going to do it without the original creators. That's not cool.
Yeah.
That's not.
Well, because they would have. Pixar would have been its own thing, so they probably would have stayed with Pixar, and Disney was creating a whole new company to take over. I think it was just sequels.
Interesting.
Weird. I could have read that wrong, though. So let's go through some categories, unless anybody has anything else.
Let's do it.
Okay, so best picture. What do we think? What do we feel?
No.
Absolutely. We literally uttered the word perfect several times.
Yeah. It deserves it. Adapted screenplay. And this is one of those things I always find weird. Like, the adapted screenplay because it's using characters from another. So sequels are adapted. Even though it's an original concept. Doesn't make sense to me. So for that reason, I kind of feel like it shouldn't be in this category. But I think the script should be nominated. Maybe an original screenplay.
Hardcore agree. You know? Yeah, the script is well written. It's, and I think it's, I forget, like, yeah, it's a kid's movie, but short movies, when they're so well done, it feels so well placed and packed and paced. It just feels like a good, when everything fits into place like it should. Like, they utilize their time well, and I really appreciate that.
It's a satisfying puzzle.
Yes, thank you.
Best animated feature, we had How to Train Your Dragon, The Illusionist, and Toy Story 3.
I mean.
Really, it's no contest, but How to Train Your Dragon is also
it's very good.
Yes. It's very good.
Also, I don't know what The Illusionist is, so I'm going to look it up
real quick. I think it's a French film. I think I saved it on some app. I need to watch it. I haven't seen it, but yeah.
I can't. The tortilla scene is happening in front of me.
When he's like,
he's just like,
Oh no, he's supposed to in the middle.
Which is one of the like interesting
out of bed. The Illusionist has an interesting animation style just by looking at the pictures. But yeah, it's a French film. Interesting. But yeah, there was no contest this year.
Yeah.
And then we go to original song, which was nominated against Coming Home from Country Strong, I See the Light from Tangled, If I Rise from 127 Hours, and We Belong Together. Look, I love I See the Light.
And at last I see the light.
That's good. That's a great fucking song.
It is a good song.
It's a great song.
Also, Tangled wasn't nominated.
Well.
Interesting.
I saw it one time, so I don't remember.
I love Tangled.
Tangled is great. With Tangled. It's one of the best.
That's a great villain song. I do remember that.
Great villain.
Donna
great
Murphy. Villain
song. Delicious. Delicious. Oh my God, so good. I sing that so much.
Of course you do.
So much, all the time.
We Belong Together, I think it's great. I honestly think the original song, You Got a Friend in Me, is more iconic. It didn't win its year, weirdly enough. But maybe that's why they want, maybe, because again, we thought this was the end of the trilogy. So maybe they rewarded it thinking, okay, you're the end, here's your reward. It's not a bad song. Randy Newman is fits perfectly with this world. But I think You Got a Friend in Me is a better song.
Yeah.
When I was little, I danced, and I did a dance to You've Got a Friend in Me.
Of course you did.
I remember that's we so would cute. Stick our little foot out and be like, you got a friend in me, and point. It was cute.
Even before you go on, the second song, oh my God, I'm blanking. Sarah McLachlan, what's it called?
Shit. When Somebody Loved Me.
Yes, that's also a better song.
That
didn't
song.
Win either, actually. It's you.
How?
That song wrecks me.
Yeah. That song.
Of the three that Toy Story movies have been nominated, I'd say it's the worst, but it won because it hadn't won previously.
It was the last one. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what? I know I'm one of the only five people that watch Country Strong, but I did it for Leighton Meester, and I'm not mad about it because I used to love Leighton. I still love her anyways. That movie was a mess. Why is Gwyneth Paltrow trying to be a country singer? But she was great in it, and her song was good. So I liked it. It was her and Garrett Hedlund, I think. They were great together.
Achievement in sound editing. It was against Inception, Richard King, Toy Story 3, Tom Myers, and Michael Silvers, Tron Legacy, Gwendolyn Yates, Whittle, and Addison Teague, True Grit, Skip Livesay and Craig Berkey, Unstoppable, Mark P. Stokinger, and it, Inception won.
Inception was gonna win, but
I still think Black Swan should have been in this category, but
it should have.
I agree, especially for all the like,
yeah, but something about animation, they're having to recreate the sound from nothing,
yeah,
which is pretty admirable. So, I don't disagree that it's there,
yeah, correct,
yeah. So that's Toy Story. Let's get into our rankings.
Okay. Oh, shit.
I'll go first. That's Joy's line.
Hey, I was prepared last time.
You know, maybe prepared every time.
That's too much work. Oh. She's saying she loves you.
Yeah, well, I love you so much.
Here's my ranking. It hasn't really changed much since last episode. At the bottom, I have The Fighter. Number 6, 127 Hours. Number 5, The Kids Are All Right. Number 4, Social Network. Number 3, Inception. Number 2, Black Swan. And number 1, Toy Story 3.
Oh my God. Really?
That's how I'm feeling today. I finished that and I was like, I'll say it again. It's a perfect film. It checks all of the boxes so beautifully. It'll probably change by the end for my final ranking, but
right, but wow, okay.
Right now, I'm just so in love with the story and how well crafted it was.
Because not only is like, because this ranking is, it can be our personal rankings, but also like what we actually think is the best. And I think Toy Story is our favorite and also the best. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's. Yeah. yeah. I guess I'll do mine. So I struggled with this because the bottom obviously is easy to put into categories, but the top three were like really hard. Mm-hmm. Okay, so 7 is The Fighter. 6 is The Kids Are All Right. 5 is 127 Hours. 4 is Inception. Can't believe it's this low. That's crazy to me. I even want to change it just looking at it. Number 3 is Black Swan. Number 2 is Social Network. And number 1 is Toy Story 3.
Shut up.
Which, honestly, Social Network and Black Swan could be switched. That's what I have. That's just what I said. But I could, next week it'll probably change. I don't know.
Wow. Okay. This movie is really throwing our rankings for a loop.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll go last, obviously. The Fighter. What is this? Number 7? Number 7, The Fighter. Number 6, 127 Hours. I can't count backwards. Number 5, The Kids Are All Right. Number 4, Toy Story 3.
Oh, wow.
Number 3, The Social Network. Then Inception and Black Swan's number 1. Yeah, I mean, I love Toy Story 3 as much as the next person. And I love Toy Story, but
obviously not as much as the next person. We have it as number 1.
Well, clear, you went before me, so I'll more than the next person, yes, but you went before me, so it's different. yeah, I mean, again, I loved it, it's really great. I think whenever this was 10 years ago, it was a perfect film for me, but now I think there's other merits in other films that make me rank those films higher than this film. Still great movie.
Because I'm trying to think, like, of the top three that are, like, killing me, Toy Story 3, Black Swan, and The Social Network. I really only had an issue with Social Network and the fact that they made Brenda Song crazy for no reason. Mm-hmm. So that might be number 3. Because I'm trying to think of something I had a problem with Black Swan. I can't think of it. I think that might have been a perfect film as well. I don't remember. I have to look back at my notes.
I agree.
For me, Black Swan and Interception are...
Interception?
Again, Inception. My God. I don't even watch football. Inception. But I think because I do have more, like, issues with Inception, I like the way it scratches my brain.
What lets me have Inception down that far is that I like Interstellar so much more. That I'm okay with being right there. But I think from a technical perspective, Toy Story 3, like I said, is perfect. And I don't remember saying Black Swan was perfect when I watched it. I enjoyed it, yes. Maybe the horror part is, like, making me want not to put it at the top spot. I don't know. But those three movies are top tier, and you cannot go wrong with any of them, honestly. And they're also different. That's the best part.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I have a feel. What's the next? Oh no. Okay, never mind. Sorry, I forgot what movie was next. I wonder if they'll change at all these rankings that we have. What's coming up next?
Yeah, I'm interested
because I've seen all these movies, but I think I saw them when they came out, so I don't remember.
And see, I haven't seen the next one. But I've seen the one after that, and I haven't seen the Best Picture winner.
Okay, yeah.
So.
We got some... It's interesting. The season is fun. It's very...
I love that it's so good. I love that we're having a hard time ranking things because they're good, not because they're mediocre.
Yeah, this is a good problem to have, for sure.
Yeah, for real.
I was doing some editing today, and I was listening to... I linked one our Getting to Know You episodes. Those episodes where we're all together in the same place are top tier. Like, they're so good. Like, the banter is great. The talking off each other is really good. Like,
oh, man. How about we just live together again?
That energy is unmatched.
It really is, yes. For sure. Because I can just almost tell in our voices that we're sitting at the table at the house. Our phone's in the middle of the table. having our laughing fits, Joy burping really loud, her saying
and not being able to mute it.
Burp.
That's really good. It's good. Yeah. But anyways, yeah, that's the show. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yes.
Catch you next time.
Bye.